Amen. The Lord's good. We're thankful to be here. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn over to Song of Solomon, chapter 3. I want to pick on Greg. Amen. But I decided I'd just preach. Amen. Song of Solomon. We are actually in chapter 2 of Song of Solomon. And I hope you got your shout on. Amen. That's what I'm preaching for tonight. I'm not trying to teach you much anything. Amen. That was in the morning service. I just want you to shout. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in verse 8, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you, Lord. God, you know us. We always need your help, Father. We don't want to do anything without you. Lord, we thank you for the service this morning, and God, how we'd like to feel that sweet breeze of God blow through here this evening, Lord. Now, Lord, you're the one that can do it. There's no need, according to Brother Harry, there's no need to look nowhere else. You're the one. Amen. God, I pray, Father, that you'd touch us with your mighty hand. Yes, amen. Lord, most of all, help your children. Save that one that's lost and undone. And God will give you the glory for it in Christ's name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 8. If you study the book of Song of Solomon, you'll find out it's a type and likeness of the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church. Amen. And I tell you what, His church ought to be real, real close to Him. Amen. I mean, the church just got to be right there, amen. I look at John at that Last Supper, amen. You didn't know where Peter was, amen. You didn't know where any of the other disciples was. Hey, but the one that loved him, amen. The one that was always bragging about how Jesus loved him. You know where he was. He was as close to Jesus Christ as he could possibly get. And listen, church, he's coming back. It's not going to be long, amen. And I think tonight we ought to just move up a little closer, amen. I think we ought to feel his presence. I think we want to feel his breath as he blows down, as he breathes on us like John did. We want to feel that heartbeat, amen. We want him to be real. God, amen. Hey, that's what we want. We find it says in verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. I tell you, there's no mountain too high, amen. There's no hill too rough. There's no sea too wide. Amen. He can't get to us. Amen. I say my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Now, if you're West Virginia, that's a deer. Amen? Amen. There's not much more graceful than that hart. There's not much more beautiful than that. Amen. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love. Oh, oh yeah. I like his talk, amen. I like it when he talks to me like that, amen. I tell you what, I found out in the morning, if I want to get my wife up, I said, don't get out of, just get out of the bed. No, I say, rise up, my love. Amen. I tell you what, I like the way he talks to me, amen. He don't talk to me like I'm no stranger, amen. He talks to me like he loves me, amen. He talks to me like he cares for me, amen. Oh, he talks to me like he knows me. And he knows all about me, amen. He said, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. He said, for lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of the birds is come. And the voice of the turtle, that's that turtle dove, oh, cooing. Just sweet, amen. It's not like that raven. I'm all for the turtle doves in the church. But those squawking ravens, they get me all mad. Amen. Amen. I know why Noah threw that one off. And I think he's glad he didn't come back. I can imagine he went out there, who's going to go, who am I going to get off this boat first? And of course that old rape, he said, he's the one. He ran over there and grabbed him by the neck, and that old bird, Noah's grinning, opens the window and then chucks him out. Amen. Didn't come back either, did he? He's looking for dead things. When he got out there, he found them. Amen. I'm not looking for the dead things. I'm looking for something alive. Amen. I want to hear the turtle dove. Amen. So if you're going to come around squawking around me this week, just stay away. Amen. I want to hear the turtle dove. That's the bird of love. Well, when you have a wedding, man, they get those doves and they turn them loose at the right time. Amen. I know God is making big money on that. He got some pigeons that look almost like doves. And people are so stupid that they don't know they're not doves. So he charges them big amount of money, amen, to set those doves free. And somebody asked him, where you getting all those doves? And he never told nobody. But they're homing pigeons. Soon as they get out there and fly around for a little bit, they head home. I mean, that's a money-making business. Amen. Glory. Amen. I turtle dove. I like that. Amen. It said in verse 13, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. I'd like to preach to you tonight about this thought, the excited bride. Amen. I mean, here we find that she's excited about her betrothed, amen. She's so excited, she's running all over town. Have you seen him? I mean, he's the fairest of 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. Have you seen him? Do you know him? Amen. Oh, would be to God, amen, that the church should get excited about him again, amen. Hey, we don't need any programs, amen. We just need him, amen. Oh, if we could just get excited about his beauty, amen. Oh, about his voice, amen. Oh, when she heard his voice, amen, that was enough for her, amen. Oh, when she heard that voice, amen. Oh, his strength, his grace, amen. Oh, as he stood there before her wall, amen, in all his power and all his beauty, amen. Oh, he was beautiful. He's that Hartford deer, amen. Oh, that one with the big horns, amen. In the Bible, the horns are a sign of power, and there's no greater than him, amen. There's none with more power than him, amen. Oh, yeah. Hey, his beauty and his call to her, my love, won't you come away with me? You know what? He's been up here calling all week. Come to me. Oh, you're heavy laden. Come away for a while. Come away from the world. Come away from your troubles. Come to the altar, amen. Come talk to me, amen. Come to me. That one time he came to her door and she just laid in bed. She never got up. And he moved the door and he stuck his hand in the door and he left his sweet smell in the door. And she's too late because she wouldn't get up. That's what's happened to some of you. You're too late. There's churches dying all over America because they quit coming to the altar. and they can't hear His voice anymore. And they don't want to feel His touch. I was preaching on that wheel this morning, and I got to thinking about God. How do I know that I'm the center of your wheel? And the Lord gave me a little illustration. He said, Charlie, when you start to lean over a little bit, He said, that's when you feel my touch. Because I'm pushing you back where you need to be. Amen. Have you felt any touch of God? Have you felt any conviction in your life? Amen. Maybe you're not even on the wheel. Maybe you're not even saved. Maybe you're not of the bride. Amen. Amen. Hey. She's excited. Hey, we ought to get excited again. You know what she's excited about? Well, number one, she's excited because she knows what she was and how He forgot about it. Amen. I mean, we find over there a little bit earlier in, we find that she's in the field, amen. And her master has put her family's put her over there, made her a slave, amen. It's not even her field, amen. She's over there, she's got dirt in her fingers, amen. The sun has made her black, amen. She's over there working, and they're just treating her like a slave. That's what the devil does. That's what the world does, amen. She's over there. She's not beautiful. Amen. She's a nothing. Amen. She's got dirt in her fingers. She's sweaty. She's got work clothes on. She doesn't look like no rare beauty. Amen. There's nothing special about her. Amen. Oh, but then Solomon comes riding down her row one day. Amen. And he saw something in her that nobody else ever saw before. Amen. Hey, praise God. He didn't see what she was. Amen. Hey, but he saw what she could be. Amen. Oh, it got a hold of his heart. Amen. And he looked beyond all the dirt. Amen. Beyond all the work clothes, amen. Beyond their situation in life, amen. Glory to God, amen. I'm glad He rode down my row one day. Plowed my taters out, amen. As He's riding down there, amen. And said, I want you, amen. I want you at the altar, amen. I want you in my family. I want you in heaven, amen. Oh, I couldn't refuse. I just couldn't refuse, amen. While she was shackled in the chains of ignorance, absence of the knowledge of God, she was in a negative state of mind. Amen. She was ashamed. I was. She was enslaved. She was disliked. She was poor. But He knew He could fix all that. Where would you be, Brother Tenney, if you didn't get saved? Probably dead. Probably dead. I owe more than I can ever repay. When I come to a meeting, I want to shout. I'm looking for a place to shout. I want to get close to Him. I want to feel His touch. Amen. I want Him to be around. Amen. Amen. She was bound in the cords of sin. Tied up and nobody could get her loose. But the King could. Amen. Amen. She was toiling in the ground of the unredeemed, a slave to an angry master. The world's angry at you. The devil's angry at you. Wake up. Look up. The only one that is for you is Jesus Christ. Obama's not for you. The Republican Party's not for you. The Democratic Party's not for you. Amen. And a lot of churches of today are not for you. And a lot of religions are not for you. They're for your money. They're for enslaving you. They're for doing that. But there's only one. There's only one that'll make you free. And that's Jesus. Oh, I'm glad he saw what she was.
Amen.
Because she remembered where she what she was.
Amen.
She remembered where she came from. The wrong side of the tracks. Well, Brother Tenney, where'd you get your education? Hey, I don't have a Christian education. I was a poor boy in a place called Parco. It's where all the company houses are. And all the company had moved out. So the poor people, that's where they went to live. Because it was cheap. Amen. And I was growing up, I never can remember having more than two pairs of shoes. Amen. Amen. I come from the wrong side of the tracks. My dad was bad to drink. We didn't go to church. I should have never got in. Amen. Nobody would ever looked at me when I was a kid and said, that's going to be a preacher. Amen. That's going to be a servant of God. Amen. I tell you, I'm thankful. I remember where I come from. I'm not going to whine about where somebody puts me. Amen. If I got to fight the fleas, I'll fight the fleas. I've done it before. Amen. This week we had to fight the ants. Amen. What is it? You know, whine around, complain? No, I've got a lot better. I got a lot better than I ever dreamed I had. We have a church that has forgotten where she came from and what God done for her. Amen. You ought to shout because you know where you were. In Psalms chapter 40 in verse 2, it says, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He had put a new song in my heart, even praise unto a new song in my mouth, and even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When's the last time somebody saw you praising God and feared? They do in Walmart. Praise God in Walmart. People get scared. Amen. Amen. I like to tell this story. I've told it before. I think I was in Alabama. We was up there, and there's a black lady, and I went to Walmart to get chicken because it's cheap, and I'm a Baptist, and I like chicken. Amen. So I walked up there, and I was in line. There's a whole bunch of people behind me, and I said, well, I ordered my chicken, and I just asked her. I said, are you saved? And she said, oh, yes, I'm saved. And, man, she started telling me, and I started shouting and glorying God. And man, she's going, woo, amen. And I looked around. She just kept piling on that chicken. I said, help yourself, honey. Glory to God. Amen. I turned around. Everybody's gone. So next time you want to check out and there's a line, just start praising God. They'll go to the back of the store until you get out. Amen. I tell you, it's a rare thing to see anybody praise the Lord. Amen. I remember years ago going down there to Brother Harry's, amen, and praying Paul Cornett, amen. I've never been around nothing like that in all my life, amen. It got to going and all of a sudden praying Paul got up. Holy, 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 amen. He's going down the aisles, amen. Hey, he had his eyes fixed, amen. He looked like a wild man. Just a little bit, Lulabelle. Man, she kicked off her shoes and she got up, amen. I mean, it was on, amen. Hey, I'd never seen nothing like that, but the Holy Ghost came on before it was all over with, throwing songbooks, doing everything else we could. Amen. First time I'd ever been in anything like that. And I was hooked. It was real. I wondered how my family thought. I wondered how my wife. I was looking over there and my wife was bawling and crying, amen. And my kids were laughing. They thought it was the greatest thing they ever saw in their life, amen. And we was in, and we've been in ever since, amen. Brother Danny Farley, that preached that week about Nehemiah and building the walls, amen. And me and Janet went home, and we built the walls. And they're still standing, amen. We didn't come here for you to throw cold water on it. We want to build a wall. We want to make a Christian life. We want to see the church regenerated, amen. We want to see something happen. So get in the program. My dad and mom thought I was nuts. They thought I went off to join a cult. You know what? They love Brother Harry now. They often asked about how he is. Dad went on to be with the Lord now. Amen. He brought me out of something. I'll give you an illustration. There was this man. He had an old dog named Rover. Amen. And they had septic problems. Now, I know you city folk, you don't have stuff like we do in the country. You all just flush it and forget it. But in the country, we flush it and then years later, we dig it up. Amen. Man, he had to go out there and take the top off of that thing and the honey dipper was coming the next day. Going to dip that out. Amen. And he had old Rover, his dog, and Rover's out in the night running around chasing a rabbit or something like that. I don't know what happened to him. But old Rover fell into that horrible pit. And it was still full. He couldn't touch the bottom. Every time he quit dog paddling, hey man, he'd sink down to the bottom. He'd come up. And he'd go round and round and round. And around. Sounds like NASCAR, doesn't it? Around and around. He's bumping into stuff. Couldn't see what it was. All he knew, it smelled real bad. Amen. Amen. All night long, he struggled. Come morning, and light shined into his prison. Boy, I thank God, amen, when light shined into my pit, amen. Oh, I couldn't get out. I didn't even know where I was, amen. One day, the lovely Lord, amen, shined some light into my pit, amen. And for the first time, I saw what I was. I saw where I was, amen. And I determined I wanted to get out. I didn't want to be in this filthy race any longer, amen. Well, being the good master that he was, he come out to feed Rover that morning. He put food out and hollered, "Hey, Rover! Hey, Rover, come on!" Rover didn't show up. But being the good master that he was, he went on the hunt for Rover. Amen. And he come to Rover's horrible pit. Oh, he looked down in there. And he found old Rover. He had to look real, real close. Because Rover looked like all the rest of the trash in the pit. A lot of you look in the pit and all you see is trash. I was a piece of that trash. But God saw a difference. Amen. And the master, being the good master it was, he got him a rope, amen. And he's going to try and lasso old Rover and get him out of that horrible pit. So he got that lasso around him, amen, that rope, but Rover was so slick and so slimy, it just wouldn't stay on. Amen. There's some you'll pray out. There's somebody, a rope of prayer, get them out. But there's some you're going to have to go after. Amen. Well, the master, being the good master he was, he went and got him a ladder. And he put it down into that horrible pit. And I can imagine it's probably hitting him about here. Amen. And he started to go over to old Rover. And he started to reach out to get old Rover. And Rover tried to bite him. Isn't that the way you do? When the preacher comes to your house to see where you've been and try to pull you out of your pit. Get mad at the preacher. Try to bite the preacher's head off. The one person is trying to help you. The devil's trying to drown you in the slime and filth of this world, amen. And the preacher's trying to talk you out of it, amen. And every time he opens his mouth, whether it be at church, at your door, or in your living room, you can't stand what he has to say. Amen. But the master, being the good master he was, spoke to him in that small, still voice. Remember that voice. He got over and they got old Rover. And he clasped him to his breast. In order to get him, he had to get a little bit lower than Rover. And he picked him up. And he carried him out of that horrible pit. I tell you what, I was that old Gentile dog, amen. Oh, I couldn't get to where he could was, amen. There's no way I could get out, amen. But thank God, amen, he came to where I was, amen. Oh, he came from the heights of heaven in all his glory, amen. And he came to my pit and he picked me up, amen. And he brought me out. I tell you, I smell different now, amen. I walk different now, amen. I look different now. I'm excited about what he did for me. I'm excited he got me out of that, amen. And so should you be. There shouldn't be any reason other than that you need to shout, amen. He started cleaning old Rover off. A few days later, Rover was out there. And the master was just spraying him off with a water hose. And the neighbor come by, he said, I've never seen a dog just stand there and let you squirt him with a water hose like that. And the way he'd just walk around Rover, Rover would stand perfectly still. And the master said, well, he's been like that ever since I got him out of the pit. Amen. I say, won't you let the preacher hose you off when you come to church? He done clean you up once. You probably need it every Sunday. Amen. Well, why do you have to preach so hard? Because you're so dirty. Amen. That's why. We got to get the pressure up on the water. Amen. To blow it off of you. Amen. Well, I know. Hey, sometimes preacher has to preach hard the whole church to get one dirty dog. So what you all ought to do is gang up on the dirty dog because you know who it is too. Put him under such conviction, you'll get sweeter preaching. Amen. Oh, Lord, go ahead, clean me up, Lord. Oh, Lord, I don't want to go back to the pit, Lord. Keep me clean, Lord. Keep me in thy will, Lord. Keep me close to you, Lord. Amen. I tell you something else she's excited about. The price was paid for her. Amen. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot, Calvary was a cost. And he was willing. I like to quote Brother Earl Hughes. He's one of my heroes. And Brother Earl said, when a woman goes shopping, and I have seen this happen in my family, the woman I married, amen, they'll go around. Us men will go in, that's what I need, put it in the buggy, go buy it. But they'll pick that thing up and they'll examine it, and they'll turn it over, and they'll look at it, and then they'll lay it back down, and then they'll take her little buggy, and they'll come back around, and they'll see that again, and they'll pick it up, and they'll look at it, and they'll look at the price. And then they'll take it to the Walmart check price thing to make sure that it's not cheaper. Amen. And finally, they decide that it's worth the price they paid for. Listen, the Lord thought more of us than He did of His own Son. He gave the finest, the greatest soldier in heaven's innumerable army, the commander, the captain of the host came and died at Calvary. Hey, He paid the price, the highest price ever paid on any auction block for any soul. Amen. And the price was death. The price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're worth more than you think you are. Amen. May I say, she's also excited about the place prepared for her. It was a city of pure gold, like unto clear glass. 12 foundation, 12 gates of pearl. The street of the city, one street, we're all on Main Street, was pure gold as it was transparent glass. And one light lights the entire city. There are no walls. If they're walls, they're crystal walls. There's nowhere in that city where light doesn't penetrate, because we won't have anything to hide anymore. I got stuff I want to hide now. I don't want you to know about my past. I don't want you to know the things that I've done. I don't want you to know none of that. But when I get in heaven, it'll all be gone. There'll be nothing to hide between me and the lovely Lord. Amen. Amen. I like to think about heaven. I mean, streets of pure gold. Amen. There's going to be food up there. I mean, what else would a fat man think about going to heaven if it's not food? Amen. I mean, there's a marriage feast of the Lamb. And in my understanding, we're going to be up there about 7 years before we come back. Could it be possible? I mean, time doesn't mean anything to God. Could it be possible, Brother Mark, that we could eat for 7 years? Amen. Imagine, amen. They probably got bananas up there like Saul off. You just take a saw and cut it off, put it on steak, and run around it eating. Green beans the size of baseball bats. Whew. Amen. Watermelons the size of Volkswagens. Amen. You just cut a door in it and eat your way through it. Amen. I tell you, I'm not sure what all heaven is, amen, but it's going to be wonderful, amen. It's going to be glorious, amen. And I'm excited about that, amen. I'm looking forward to the trip, amen. I'm going to have a robe. Woo! I felt the breeze. Woo! I'm going to have a robe of righteousness. I can imagine getting one of those big old pieces of fruit off of one of those trees by the river. Crystal River. If it's 100 feet deep, you could read a newspaper on the bottom of it. Amen. I'm going to get one of those apples. Real good. Taste it. Oh! No stains. Amen. Right now, you fat man ought to be shouting, amen. I mean, every shirt I got, every tie I got, got stains on it. Oh, the stains are all gone in heaven. There'll be no more stains on our robe, amen. Sin is gone, amen. We're perfect before the Lord, amen. I think you ought to get excited about the Lord. You know what else? She's excited about that precious garment made just for her. You know, I've never been a bride. But I'm looking forward to being one. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Oh, man. I remember my wife getting married. Nobody got excited when the groom and the best man stepped out. Nobody said ooh. Nobody said ah. Maybe somebody said ooh, but nobody said ah. Eh? Amen. We're out there, nothing happens. And then a little bit, the preacher says, all rise. Everybody got up. Dun, 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 dun. The door's swinging. And there comes my bride. I mean, she's decked out in white. My little old heart's just, oh, man. It's still just for her, amen? Man, there she walked down the aisle. And everybody was looking at her. You know, I don't know how it's going to be in heaven, but maybe just for a little while, when that bride walks in that day, all the eyes of heaven will be taken off Him. And they'll look at that bride. And I can imagine He's shouting, woo! Amen! We had a wedding once and the bride came in and she was shouting outside. She was a shouting lady. She's getting married. Janet was at that wedding. She was shouting out in the parking lot. She shouted back in the vestibule. Amen. She coming down the aisle shouting. Amen. She got up here. She was shouting. And finally the preacher said, honey, you're going to have to be quiet. We ain't never going to get you married. Amen. Amen. I tell you, she's excited. But I can imagine the Lord. There she is. That's the one I paid for. Amen. Boy, she's been faithful all these years. She's finally arrived. I thank God for my wife. She never signed up to be a preacher's wife, a pastor's wife, or an evangelist's wife. But she's been right with me all the way. Amen. She said once that God will never call you into evangelism because I hate to travel. That Christmas, somebody bought us luggage, and by spring, we were on a roll. She's a trooper. She stuck with me. She raised our children. And she's more precious today to me than the day I married her. I really didn't know her when I married her. But I know her now. And she knows me. And the more time that we spend together, the better we know each other. How about you? Do you know Him? Does He know you? Amen. I remember going with my daughter. She's going to marry. I hope I'm not taking too much time. Went to get my daughter that she liked to knuckle-headed Marine boy. Amen. She fell in love. And he was off. And we had to go on the look. And they got married. We had to go on the look for the dress. I was praying for the rapture. I'll just be honest. I didn't think anybody was good enough for my little girl. I did not want to give her away. Amen.
We're on that look. We went to the mall. That's where you got to look for that stuff. And we went in there, and we went into this fancy store, amen. And I'm uncomfortable in those kind of stores. I mean, fluff and frill and puches and pinks and purples and all those girly colors. And the furniture, it's that real wimpy looking furniture. I'm afraid to sit down on it, amen. I'm just uncomfortable in a place like that. And if you as a man are comfortable, I'm a little bit worried about you. A little bit worried. But I went in there. A little bit, they took her in the back and she'd found that dress. She came out, solid white. They put a little crown on her head, veil. She had that long train behind her. And they brought her out and they had a pedestal that they put her up on. And they had mirrors all around her. And I'm standing there. She puts her hand on her chest. And she goes, "Oh, Daddy." Janet was saying, "Now, this is the dress? You sure what that's the dress? You know how much it costs?" I was saying, "Buy it. I don't care. Amen." She deserves it. Amen. She's kept herself pure. Amen. Buy it. I don't care if we've got to go in debt for it. That's the one. Amen. That's what Jesus Christ said about His problem. I'll buy it. I'll go to Calvary. I'll pay the ultimate price for it. Amen. She deserves it. She stuck with me. Amen. She's there. Amen. She's pure. Amen. I will give her the finest. I'll give my blood. I'll give my body. I ain't never got dressed up like that. But I don't know for sure what we're going to look like. But I know this thing. I'm going to look a lot better than I do now. Amen. I tell you, she's excited about that letter He sent to her. You look there at that lattice. Amen. It said, "He looketh forth at the window, showing Himself through the lattice." Now, lattice is strips of wood or cloth. And it's open spots where you can see. It's the bride's window. You want to see it? Do you see the lattice work? He shows Himself through the lattice. Amen. Every time that you peel one of these verses away and put it in your heart, you see a little bit more of Him. This reveals Him, His beauty, His grace, His power. It reveals all about Him. And some of you have not pulled one piece back. And all you know is what everybody else knows. But guess what? Because I've been working at the bride's window, I know more than you do. You know, we had some big old bucks coming up in our front yard. We had 2 10-points and an 8-point buck. I don't know whether D was there when that happened or not. But we all rushed to the window. We wanted to see them. Amen. But you know, they got in a certain part of the field, and in order to see them, you had to get in a difficult position. If you want to really see this book, you ought to go to that prayer room. Many times when Brother Earl was with us, I walked into his room and the Bible would be laying on the bed and he'd be kneeling before it, praying, asking God to show him something. Amen. You know why we don't know the Bible? We won't get in a difficult position. We're spoiled brides. Amen. I know I need to hurry. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. I love the Word of God. It's a love letter. I remember Amy waiting for that letter as soon as he got out of basic training. He couldn't call nobody. He was in basic training during 9-1-1. Parasilent. Couldn't call nobody. Couldn't talk to anybody.
I had no trouble getting my mail when it come time for him to send that letter. She's out the bell box every morning looking for that letter. What about you? God's got a mailbox. He's sending you a message. It's a love letter. It's a history book. It's a how-to book. It's a book to tell you how to live, how to love, how to lead, how to talk, how to walk, and how to die. I want you to look at one other thing. Look at that wall. What is that? He just comes to the wall and he don't cross the wall. You know what that is? That's sin. It's separating him. In this day and time that we live, I'd want him to be pressed up right against the glass. I want to get as close to him as I can. And in order to do that, you've got to tear down your wall of sin. In Isaiah 49 and verse 6, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Here's the thing with that wall. When you first start that wall of sin, that's our wall. That's not his wall. We can see him. But as the wall gets higher, it gets harder to see. And pretty soon, you're trying to look over top of it. You know, I used to come to church and I could see him. Anymore, I don't see him. All I see is my sin. Doesn't matter what the preacher preaches on. Doesn't matter what Pastor Justice is going to preach on. All you'll see is your sin. Amen. And here's the problem with our churches today and with most preachers. We got so we just look over sin. Instead of dealing with it, we just look over it. In our youth, instead of dealing with it, we let it grow. And the wall gets higher. And our kids get farther. Let them dress the way they want. Let them have their cell phones and their computers. Let them watch anything they want. Well, I love them. I want them to have a better life. They're not going to have a better life. They're going to wind up in jail, in prison, dead. Because you wouldn't deal with their sin. Our churches today, they don't see God anymore. Their walls are too high. They got two walls. The congregation's got their wall, and the preacher's got his wall, and there ain't nothing getting done. I used to go to camp meeting, and preachers would preach about everything. Pink windshield wipers, cowboy boots, wire-rimmed glasses, beards. Amen. They preach on everything. Amen. They just nail everything that they could nail. Amen. Make you feel like a dog. Do you wonder what it did? It got us to the altar. It made us realize that sin was killing us, destroying us. Amen. Last thing, she's excited because he's coming for her. Arise, my fair one, my love, my fair one. Come away. He tells the time. He uses the fig tree. The fig tree is the type of Israel. Israel's blooming. Her leaves are on. Figs in Israel come on three times a year. There's an early fig, one early summer, and then one in late summer. The early ones, there's no leaves on. The figs come on first. Later, the leaves appear, and the figs appear. Late summer, I think if you look at Israel right now, she's top-notch in about every category you can think of. Finest army, finest technology. One of the richest nations in the world now with her discovery of the gigantic oil reserve underneath her, and oil and gas. Amen. She's 90% energy independent right now. Almost 14 years ago, America got the Department of Energy, created it, so we could be energy dependent. Today, we're more dependent on foreign energy than the day they created the department. Israel, you know that's what that's telling me? Israel had to be because everybody's going to desert her. She's almost completely, may by this time be completely energy independent. She has her own factory. She has her own weapon factories. She's at the point that she's bloomed into a full-grown world power. She has nuclear weapons. And I believe that maybe she'll use them. Look up. Redemption draweth nigh. I'm excited. I'm living in the days, I believe, of the rapture. Even so, come quickly. Here's my theory. I've done pretty good so far, Lord. I'd rather you come, take us out here. I don't know where I could take that stuff. I don't know how much we'll have to face. I don't know how much we'll have to put up with. I don't know how much we'll have to suffer. But I'm hoping that He has great mercy and grace and loving kindness towards His bride. And He'll just come and take her out before all that starts. Are you saved? I'm serious. I know that I've made you laugh, I've made you shout, but this is serious time now. Time is running out. Now is the time. Today is the day. If you're lost and undone, do not sit there tonight. You might not have a tomorrow. Your old ticker might blow up. Think of Sarah Eby. She was a walking time bomb. Anybody that has an aneurysm in their brain, if that goes, they're done. Aneurysm in the heart, if it blows, you're gone. There's no way nobody saved you. You don't know what's inside of you. You don't know where you're at. You better know that you're saved. You better know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm begging you with all that's in me, oh, don't turn Him away. He's the lovely Lord that loves you so much. He wants to clothe you and adorn you and spoil you rotten. Why don't you come to Him?